Jacob, I want to warn you. I was on staff at Brighton Christian Church for 17 years, and they encouraged us to go on mission trips. We went to Mexico, Costa Rica, but then I went to Poland in 1996, and 10 years later, they spit me out. I mean, they sent me out to Poland, and I was like, I was excited but afraid. No, not afraid. The fear of God even increased within me. But Brighton Christian Church didn't just spit me out, didn't just send me out. They sent me out with blessing, with prayers, with finances. And it's awesome. The absolute highest mountains experience I've had have been here. Quite honestly, some of the deepest valleys have been here. Not just here in this building, but in this city and with this body of Christ. I'm thankful, thankful that, and I forgot my water, which is back here, which I'm going to need later, so I'm going to get it right now before it gets too late. I was also going to open up by saying, Dzień dobry, Kościół, because everybody else, the three people did this morning. Do you know what I just said? Dan said it, three people, and Kevin said it, and I think Jacob might have said it. Good morning, church. It's good to be a part of the body of Christ. It's awesome to be a part of the body of Christ, and I want you to know that that is not any picture that I'm familiar with, but it's not me from somewhere either or anybody that I know about, but Sarah does a great job, doesn't she? Crowned with compassion. She did a great job also with getting our prayer card available to you. Everybody has one because it's an insert. I just wanted to draw attention to the fact that it's some prayer needs are on that bottom half. Polish Christian Ministries at a big picture is represented here on this insert. Please take it as a launching pad for prayer. Many of you are already on our prayer, monthly prayer email. If you want to get on that and you're not on it, please sign up in the back in the foyer after church today. I did want to draw your attention to one young lady that's on here. She's holding a sign that says, Tylko Jezus jest drogą, which is Jesus is the only way. She marched for Jesus in Poland this past summer, and she's sitting right here on the front row. Susie Mitchell. So you can pick her out right there. She's right there. All right. Let's pray together this morning. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable to you. You're our rock, our redeemer. And Father, would your word be declared this morning for every heart and for every life that's represented here this morning, because you have a word for each of us. You love each of us. You would have died for only one of us. And you are an awesome God. Thank you for being here with us right now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last year at Valentine's Day, I found myself an ocean apart from my wife. I was in Poland, and she was in the U.S. That's not as often these days, but it does happen every now and then, a couple of weeks overlap. But she still found a way. If you know Sandy, she finds a way. To provide me with a card on Valentine's Day. I was picking through my suitcase, picking out the next day's clothes, when I saw this big red card. And of course, on the card, it had a sign on it that said, like Sandy does, do not open until Valentine's Day. It's like 3 days before Valentine's Day. So guys, what do you think I did? Now see, everybody says that, but you don't really know Sandy. If I would have opened it on that day, she would have found out. So we're very competitive. So I didn't open it until Valentine's Day. God is my witness. God is my witness. So on Valentine's Day, I opened this card, and it's actually a Sunday, and there was a message on the card. I remember there was another message that was written from her, but the scripture that was there was this, from Solomon 5:16. And it said, this is my beloved, this is my friend. While my wife is my beloved, and she is my friend, I do have one, as you have, who is a greater friend, one who loves me even more than my wife loves me. Sandy loves me a lot. He is my beloved. He is my friend. Do you know him? He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He possesses the name that's above every name. He's the creator of the universe, the one who holds all things together. He's the source of all wisdom and knowledge. He's the Prince of Peace, a wonderful counselor. He's Almighty God. In the beginning, he was the Word, and he was with God, and he was God. He alone is God, and there is no other. You know, he's the one that's always on time. He's never late. He's always with me, always present with me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me, but is ever at my side. He's an ever-present help in my time of need. He is supreme, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He's the head of the body, the church, and in him dwells the fullness of God. He's the great shepherd, the lover of my soul. We sang about this morning. His love is higher than the highest mountain, and it's deeper than the deepest valley, even the valley of the shadow of death, and plants me in the cleft of the rock, a safe haven of rest for my soul. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He repairs broken walls and mends shattered fences. He makes all things new. He makes all things new. He calls things to be that are not. Over and over and over again, amen. He is the Lamb of God who was slain for the sins of the world, and he's the Lion of Judah. How can that be? He's my God. He's worthy to be praised. He's the life, the truth, and the way to salvation. He is Jesus. He is Savior. He's Redeemer. He's King of Kings, and he's Lord of Lords. And from his own mouth, he said, "Do not be afraid. I'm the first, and I'm the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and now look. I'm alive forever and ever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." We need to be reminded of who we serve and who possesses this everything in all of life. Out of this relationship with God of all creation, the psalmist David declares these words in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. In my wonderful Kindle, I love modern technology, but as I opened it this morning, it said, "You have no power, you have power not enough to read." So I'm going to read from back here because my Kindle is dead. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." This is just the beginning of a list of those in this passage of Scripture. But he says, "Who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion." That's where we're going to dwell today. He crowns us with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen, 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 and amen. We're going to look at two things today to try to discover just a little bit more. We sang about it, we want to discover a little bit more. What is compassion? And what does it mean to be crowned with this wonderful thing called compassion? Well, Mark 1, I'm going to look at Jesus, the epitome of compassion, right? Mark 1, verses 40 through 41. I could read just scripture this morning, which would be, I always try to do that because I can't go wrong with that, right? No one can. Great story here. Jesus is entering a city, and there's someone who's been waiting for his coming to his city. This guy's a leper. And the scripture says, "Now a leper came to Jesus, imploring Jesus, and he knelt down to him and he said to him, 'If you're willing, you can make me clean.'" And then it says, Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and he touched the leper, something that was definitely culturally wrong, and he said to him, "I'm willing, be cleansed." Now, this is a great story. You might even follow along in your own Bibles. There's different textual variants. I won't go into this too deep because then it would take too long and you would get bored. But there's a textual variant that's highly used by, I think that actually the NIV does. It doesn't say moved with compassion. It says Jesus was indignant. If you really do a study on this, compassion is probably preferred over indignant. But the reason I bring that up is, when you hear the word indignant, what do you think of? What I want you to get from this, this word indignant is only used 8 times in all the New Testament. It's always in the Synoptic Gospels, meaning Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's emotional. Indignant is emotional. The disciples, it's recorded, were indignant 4 times. Just 2 different times. It's recorded 4 times. They were indignant with James and John when they wanted to sit by the Jesus in heaven, the right and the left hand. They were also indignant when the Mary Magdalene poured the oil on and washed Jesus' feet with it. That's, the scripture says that they said, "Why this waste?" And the disciples were indignant. The chief priests were indignant when they saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, and the children were shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" I can't imagine in my own heart how they were indignant or why they were indignant, but they were indignant. It's a sign of kind of where they were, is it not? Also, they were indignant when Jesus healed on the Sabbath. It says, you know, there's 6 days for work. Come and be healed on those days, but not on the Sabbath. The Jewish synagogue leader was indignant. Well, the other 2 times, Jesus was indignant. One is recorded here. The other time is when the children were all gathered around him and the disciples were upset with that. And what does he say? "Let the children come." Jesus was indignant. Now, indignant is emotional. And one of my stories in life is my mother. If you ever met my mother, she's the calmest, most sweetest. I mean, she's the epitome mother. No one has a better mother than I do. But when Micah was young, 1 year younger than I was. So we were like, I don't know, we were 12 or 13. We lived in cornfields. And Mike and I, we're brothers, so we would die for one another. I mean, if my little brother got picked on at school, I was there for him. But we had this one experience when we only were in a fight 1 time. And this is when my mother became indignant. And she basically took us, I mean, she's 5'2". I think she's 4'11 now. She's 82 years old. But she took us by the ears and took us to bed. And we stayed in bed from then until Dad got home. Because she didn't spank us. She didn't do anything. But you're going to be in your room on your bed until Dad gets home. And then you're going to have to answer to him. Mike and I were, and my mother was indignant. I'd never seen steam come out of her ears like that towards me. So that's why I probably remember that experience really well. You know, Mike and I never got in a fight again. I won't even say what the fight was over. I actually don't remember, to be honest. I remember the location. But so my mother was indignant. It's an emotional thing. And the text here really calls for compassion. What I want to communicate is that compassion is extremely emotional. It's a deep, gut-wrenching emotion. And in this context here, before I go further with compassion, is this leper, I want to point out, this leper got up in the morning. He was a leper. He went to bed that night clean. This encounter with Jesus, this Jesus who was moved with compassion, resulted in a life changed forever. In a moment in time, we realize we're lepers. We're all lepers. And we beg Jesus to heal us. And when he does, He changes our lives forever. He literally changes the course and direction of our life. Mark 6:34, I believe we might have that on the board too. And when Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion. There's like 10, 12,000 people there. He feeds them later because they were like sheep not having a shepherd, so he began to teach them many things. And after teaching them, that's the rest of the story. And in Luke 7, Jesus enters into a city and there's this long processional going on. There's a funeral service going on. And the scriptures says when the Lord saw her, referring to the mother who had lost her son, he had compassion on her and he said to her, "Don't weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin. Can you imagine? Can you see this? And those who carried him stood still and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Can you see this actually taking place? It happened. Jesus rose a young man from the dead and presented him to his mother. This mother, this son's lives were changed forever. Those who witnessed that day, the compassion, the very emotional passion of Jesus come forth, were changed when they saw this and encountered his compassion in life. I want to teach you not a Polish word this morning, although I could. Dzień dobry. Do you want to say that with me? Dzień dobry. See, I took Spanish for like all the high school and went to 10 trips to Spain. Never could trail my R's. It would have been coming real handy speaking Polish because that's all they do. They just trill forever. Dzień dobry. If you trill, you can do the dzień dobry. That means good morning. But I want to teach you a Greek word. try not to spit on each other. But the word is splagnizomai. You ever heard of that word? Maybe some of you. Splagnizomai. Seriously, don't spit on the people in front of you. Try to protect. Splagnizomai. It's the word for compassion. Splagnizomai. It's a wonderful word. It's to be deeply moved in the inward parts. I mean, a really good translation is gut-wrenching. Or if you want to look at it this way, heart sank. Splagnizomai. This is the word used here to describe back in Mark, the story about Jesus and the leper and all those other words, compassion. Compassion is used several times throughout the New Testament and more than just the Gospels. But this is the interesting thing about splagnizomai. Splagnizomai is emotional, but it leads to action. But it begins with an emotion. The Good Samaritan had splagnizomai and took care of the wounded man. The father of the prodigal son had splagnizomai and embraced his son, forgave his son, had a party for his son. The master, who had splagnizomai on his servant, who owed him an enormous debt and forgave him all of it. You see, Jesus has splagnizomai for us. That's where it begins. When we understand God's compassion, his very emotional, gut-wrenching, heart sank, everything in, all in, everything that we've got, everything God has, his love is for us. He loves us that much. That's why he was able to take his one and only son, and send him to earth so that he might die on the cross for us. God is full of splagnizomai. Hebrews 4, yeah. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus has splagnizomai for us. When God's compassion touches our lives, we're changed forever. God put splagnizomai in our hearts. According to Psalm 103, God crowned us with compassion. What does it mean to be crowned? When's the last time you put a crown on your head? Maybe you were in a play and you were princess, yeah, a princess. Or you were King Josiah in a play. Or you were, that maybe you put a crown on for that reason. Maybe you went to Burger King and had one of their burgers and you put a crown on your head. There's three things about being crowned that are significant. Being crowned means being given authority. Being crowned means being given responsibility. And being crowned means being given rights and privileges. We've been crowned with compassion for a purpose. We've been given authority that we would not otherwise have unless we've received this compassion, this splagnizomai from God. We've been given responsibility because we've been given this compassion. But it not only gives us responsibility, it equips us to do what God's called us to do. We don't have to rely on ourselves. We don't have to rely on anything that we've mustered up. God gives each of us and all of us different abilities and callings, and praise God for that. We can't all go to Poland. We can't all stay here. We can't all live in Heartland or Brighton or South Lyon or wherever you come from this morning. We have a place in God's kingdom, and he crowns us with authority, responsibility, and he gives us rights and privileges. We will go where we would otherwise would not go. We will meet people we would not otherwise meet. Why? Because we're crowned with compassion. See, I grew up, seriously, literally, in a cornfield. I worked 8 summers in a cornfield. I said, what did you do in a cornfield? I pulled tassels out of the top of the stalks. Seriously, I spent 8 summers in a cornfield. Has anybody ever detasseled corn? Awesome. Yeah? Kentucky, and where you, Iowa, Illinois, was it in Kentucky? Okay, they grow corn besides tobacco down there? Okay, a little bit. Oh, okay, all right. And God called me out of that cornfield to serve the nation of Poland. I mean, Daniel Szyminski is much more Polish than Dave Hatfield. Tomaszewski? Much more Polish than David Hatfield. But what God calls us to, he also equips us for. And I opened this way, but I'm thankful for Brighton Christian Church that had vision to not hold on to pastors, but sent us forth. It was really the eldership here that said, we believe God's called you to Poland. I mean, we felt this, we sensed this, we really knew this in our heart, but we did. How does that work, God? How do we do that? And they really helped us to do that, not only the leadership, but the body of Christ. We're crowned with loving kindness and all the blessings which come from them. Life and health and godliness, accountable relationships, divine appointments, provisions, and details beyond comprehension. I've been told that I'm an administrator. But you know what? Without God, it just doesn't get done. We can become totally exhausted, overwhelmed, without the fact that God's present and he's crowned us with his compassion. You see this crowning? You know, you see the crown, that opening picture kind of maybe gives this picture, and that's maybe why Sarah put that there. The crowning means continuously surrounds, crowns. Continuously surrounds. This compassion is always there. It continuously surrounds every direction, any relationship, any calling, any specific ministry that God calls us to. Compassion will be a part of that. He's crowned us with compassion. This crowning denotes an app. This is from a commentator, and I didn't write his name down, and I forgot who it is. But these are not my words. This crowning denotes an application and enjoyment of these blessings, of being surrounded with them, which makes those that have them great and glorious, rich and honorable, as well as being preserved by them and protected by them. These encompassing about as a crown does the head, and as a shield protects the body. Well, Jesus has splagnizomai for us. Jesus wants us to have splagnizomai for others. Philippians 1:8 says, "For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Paul says these words. He had splagnizomai. He had affection for other people. God wants us to have the same. You know, Sandy and I are quite often asked, how did you end up in Poland? I mean, her roots are non-Polish as well. And it's as simple as this. God crowned us with his compassion for Poland. Now, could you go to the next slide? I think that's it. That's it. Poland, the size of about New Mexico. I'm going to get my little pointer out because it really helps at this point in time. Susie was with us past summer in this city right here, Astruda. The young lady who's with us this morning, even though she's from Ukraine, kind of probably way over here, because it's a really big country, she is serving in Astruda as well. She's our internship supervisor. We went in 1996 for the very first time, flew into Warszawa, or Warsaw, as we would know it here, and went north to Astruda. These cities all over this New Mexico-sized country there's a lot more cities in Poland, but the ones that are in red, like Lidzbark and Astruda, Olsztyn, there's 30 of them that PCM financially supports. The other 15, Grafice, Wrocław, Pabianica, the other are financially independent. They don't require finances. They are a church standing on their own. We are supporting them right now. So Poland, 38 million people, between 38,000 to 70,000 evangelicals in all of Poland. Even if you go with 70,000, that's 0.2% of the population. So there's a great need in Poland for the gospel to go forth. Could you go to the next slide? I wanted to show you this slide. These are 40 of the pastors who met this past January in Warsaw for evangelism training. They participated in the Festival of Hope that really culminated in June. And I wanted to show Jacob, this guy. No, he's not in this picture, sorry, because he wasn't in Poland at this time. There's Andrzej Kordakowski, some of you know, who leads the Astruda camp. And I could name all the guys, but I won't right now because that would take too long. So let's go to the next slide. This is the Pepsi Arena this past June. The Clarks were there. Susie was there. Anybody else? Paula Stiles? She was there as well. They were actually counselors who counseled those who didn't speak Polish. And only the English was their best language that they could communicate with. There were 22,000 folks from all over Poland. This was an historic event. It had never taken place in the country of Poland before, an evangelistic Billy Graham crusade, and there were over 2,000 that made first-time decisions. Well, all of Poland was like, what do we do now? And many were prepared. That's why they were meeting in January. That's why they were praying, preparing, and planning. And there were, since that time, there have been over 60 baptisms in Warsaw churches. But go to the next slide. Something that's we've been praying about with them for the 2 years that we've been with this, partnering with Rada Krajowa in Warsaw in establishing ELI, Emerging Leaders Internship. If he had 4 churches or Warsaw, 8 young leaders in 1 year to develop into church planting teams, where would you begin? You remember ELI? ELI the priest? He didn't do a lot of things well. Matter of fact, he did a lot of things poorly. But one thing he did do well was he taught Samuel the ways of the Lord. And he also taught Samuel how to hear the voice of the Lord. When the Lord said to him simply, Samuel, Samuel, his response was, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Eli put Samuel in a great place. We can be in a great place too if we could respond in that way, because God speaks through his word. He can't audibly speak. I have not had God's audible voice, But he also, he will call us out. He will speak to us. And when he does, a great place to be is to be able to simply say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And so 1 Samuel 2:26, which isn't on the slides, basically says Samuel grew in stature and wisdom and favor with God and favor with man. There was another guy that was recorded that like that in Luke 2:52 when it says Jesus was growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men. So once those four areas, once a month, one of these four pastors meets with these guys. It just started. We prayed that it would launch in October, Eli, and at 7 o'clock on October 31st, it launched. They got together. We had a commitment service, dedication service, and sent these guys out. They want to be, go to the next slide. They want to be the next church planting team in Warsaw. Warsaw has 12, there's 2 million people, 12 provinces or districts in the city. There's 4 churches. Their prayers that they would have 12 churches in all of a city of 2 million. And there's Don Orr right there, Jacob, since you know his name. Yeah. He's the pastor at the International Church in Warsaw. You can go to the next slide, which is a scripture. You know, God not only splagnizomize us, he loves us. Not only does he ask us to have love and compassion for others, he also prepares us to have splagnizomai for other people through our gut-wrenching experiences in life. You know, we're not going to compare gut-wrenching experiences, but my journey in being a pastor from Southern Illinois to Indianapolis to Brighton, Michigan, I didn't know, you don't always know what God's preparing you for, but now God has us. In the past 2 years, we've visited 30 churches in Poland, sitting across the table with pastors and leaders and hearing everything from their aches and their pains and their struggles and their challenges to their joys and triumphs and the good things that are happening. And God has helped us to relate to the things that are very emotional, to help us to relate with splagnizomai, with compassion, with that act that we can love them. We're there to hear their story, to pray with them, and to help them in their next step. You can go to the next slide. I think this is the next slide. Yeah. This guy right here, Titus, or Titus, and Yolanta. I'll introduce those. You know this guy, and my wife, Sandy, and this is Zosia. Zosia is our Polish administrative assistant. But I want to share the story of Titus and Yolanta. They're in their fourth city of planting a church. He turned 60 this year. He wants to plant one more church. Of those cities that you saw earlier, he's planted 3 of those churches. But when he went to high school, went to college, got his degree, came out of high college, and didn't find a job, was distraught in that, depressed in that, became an alcoholic. He became homeless. He found his way out of that. He found a young lady who would marry him, Yolanta, and she was not a believer either, though. So he continued in his ways of being an alcoholic. And in Poland, as many, many people do, they live in these 11-story Soviet-style buildings, very thin. And in order to get to your 11th floor apartment, you got to go in this elevator that creeps, especially back in the 70s and 60s when he was doing this. He was going home one night, a Saturday night, and Titus was intoxicated. He was coherent enough to be able to find his way, get on the elevator, and there was a guy that got on with him, this believer. And all he said to Titus was, "Did you know somebody loves you?" And Titus said, "How could somebody love this?" And he said, "God loves you." That's all he said. He got off at the top. You can do that in one floor, right? He got off at the top, went into the apartment, his apartment, woke up Yolanta. She was already in bed. He woke up Yolanta. She's drunk. And he said, yo, somebody loves me. Did you know that somebody loves me? And she's like, what's, you know, you're drunk. What's going on? God loves me. And they went to bed. Well, the next day, down at the bottom, this guy was there. He invited Titus to church. He didn't go that Sunday, but the next week he did go to church. To that guy who said, somebody loves him, God loves you. And then he went the next week. Then he went the next week. He became a believer in Jesus. And he was crowned with compassion. And he wanted to start a church in a city that didn't have a church. There was no evangelical presence. That's where Titus goes. And guess where he goes? He goes to the Renick. That's the center of the city. He looks for homeless people, alcoholics. And Titus invites them to his apartment. He opens a soup kitchen for one person. He invites them in, he feeds them soup. His wife, by the way, is a wonderful cook. It's like she had a spread that just never ended on that day. And you know what his message to them is? Somebody loves you. Who could love me? God loves you. He has an audience. I mean, they're not going anywhere. They're eating his soup, right? We started a church in Sandomir, or in Grudziądz. It's a church of about 70 right now, financially independent. He started church in Płock the same way. About 100 people are going there. They're not financially independent yet. He went to Radom, and there the soup kitchen got so big there were 90 people coming on a weekly basis. And it's a church of about 100, 110. He just left Radom, and he's moved to Siedlce. Polish people can't even say that word, Siedlce. And I can't either, but it's close. And there's no evangelical presence there. He's in his new apartment in this place. We're sponsoring him for 3 years at one level. And he now has 12 folks that are coming on a Friday night. But just this past month, show us what happened. They had their first baptism. Hallelujah. This guy is a former alcoholic, but now he knows Jesus. Amen. God loves us. He's loved us with splugnides omai. He's loved us when we weren't really lovely, when we're kind of ugly. But you know what? He would do it again and again and again. How far have you fallen? Not far enough for God not to redeem you and restore you and take you from a homeless Titus, an alcoholic Titus, to be a preacher of the gospel and bring alcoholics and others as well into the kingdom of God to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the master of the universe, yet the friend that beats all friends. He's like a brother. Our desire is that Polish people would know this magnificent Jesus, and they too would have that moment in time when their life is changed forever. You know, one of the ways in which we do that and facilitate that is bring teams to Poland. Can you go to the next page? There's some more folks here in this page. Can you recognize? That's me. There's Oksana. There's Sandy. Who is this guy? He's wearing a crown. Yeah, he's tall. That's Richard sitting in the back row. There's Susie. Who is that? Sarah. Where's Dennis? You might not recognize Dennis Clark. He's very, is he knightly or squire? They're squires. That was a knight, yeah. He was a knight of shining armor. Some of you may know Dan Heyer as well. But we invite, I forgot Paula, sitting right in the middle. We invite teams to come and reach out. This group came at Narnia Camp, served Ukrainian children that we brought across the border. 35 kids, we raised enough funds for 35 kids to come, 23 of them made first-time decisions for Jesus. I'm going to add this to your, if you're praying for Poland, if you pray for Poland, we have an opportunity this next summer to bring Ukrainian refugees. They're now refugees in their own country because they're moving from the war-torn eastern, far eastern side of Poland to the western side. The EU, the European Union has a grant now for refugees that can bring them into the EU. Ukraine has applied, but they're not a part of the EU. Well, up to 80 kids we could bring for a lot less, for no cost. I mean, the EU would flip the bill, so to speak. So pray that that might happen. They have to be refugees, which we already have 47 that we've found in Ukraine. And Oksana is very excited about this because she is a real live Ukrainian, as was put by Kevin. Prayer is a foundation for PCM. Being crowned with compassion, God will drive us to pray, to always be in prayer, to always thank Him for what He's done, ask Him, God, what do you want me to do next? Be careful when you pray that prayer, because God has an answer. It might seem like a small step. It might seem like a very large step, but He will show you the way. God has splagnizomai for us. He wants us to have splagnizomai for others. And is often the case that God does in our lives, that gut-wrenching experience you've had, that thing that just, you get up in the morning, you think about it, He just might want to use you in a way to use what you've been crowned with, His compassion, to reach and touch somebody else in your family, in your class, in your neighborhood, where you work. We're His lights. We go where He has us, you know, where we're going right now, to be His beacon of hope and light. Would you stand with me as we pray today? As we ask God for His splagnizomai to go forth from our lives. Father in heaven, what an awesome God you are, full of compassion. Your love truly never fails. We're never too far from you. There's never too much we've done. God, you understand completely. You empathize with every thought that we have, every emotion that we have. And God, we're so thankful that you've crowned us with compassion, your compassion that equips and enables and causes us to do what we do in ministry. Father, we don't rely upon ourselves. We rely upon you fully for everything that is done in our lives, in ministry, in our relationships, in our families. God, would you bless this coming week? We're going to have folks come into our home we're going to go where we don't see them that often. Maybe we do. But we're going to see that uncle or that aunt or that maybe grandma or grandpa that we don't see that often. Would you just help us to rely on your compassion, your splagnizomai within us, that you've equipped us. And if you want us to speak, may we be ready to speak. If you want us, what you want us to share, may we be ready to share. God, may you empower us in everything that is done. Thank you, Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Full of compassion and grace, mercy, and rich, rich love. We pray in your name.